Item four, and this is regarding the public hearing to consider adoption order number R1-214-003, waste discharge requirements and mitigated negative declaration for discharges related to timber harvesting and associated management articles conducted in the Jordan Creek watershed. Opening statements. This is the time and place for hearing by the California Regional Water Quality Control Board, North Coast Region, to consider adoption of order number R1-2014-0036, waste discharge requirements and mitigated negative declarations, capital SCH number 20140520073, for discharges related to timber harvesting and associated land management activities conducted by Humboldt Redwood Company, LLC, in Jordan Creek Watershed, a tributary to the lower Eel River in Humboldt County. This item has been properly noticed. So all those who expect to give testimony in this matter, please stand, raise your right hand, and take the following oath.
And I can't see behind you.
That's me.
Okay. I what I see is what we get, right? Do you swear to affirm that you would tell the truth in this matter, the whole truth in this matter?
I do.
Okay. Timelines for presentation are as follows. Staff, 30 minutes. Discharger, 10 minutes. Interested public, 3 minutes. Does either staff or the discharger object to these time limits?
No.
Okay, let the record reflect there's no objection to the time limits that have been established. At this time, we'll start with the staff presentation.
Okay. Good morning, Chairman, members of the board. I'm Maggie Robinson. I'm a geologist in the Timber Harvest Non-Point Source Division here in Region 1. I'm here today to take you through item four, the public hearing for proposed order number R12014-0036, waste discharge requirements for Humboldt Redwood Company in the Jordan Creek watershed. In your packets, you should find copies of the executive officer's summary report, a clean copy of the proposed order, a copy of the mitigated negative declaration, and an errata sheet, which I'll touch on at the end of the presentation. During my presentation, I'll be giving a brief overview of the waste discharge requirements, which I will be referring to as the WDR throughout this presentation for the sake of brevity. I'll be going over the timber harvest history in the Jordan Creek watershed, the regulatory history behind the development of the WDR, the key elements of the WDR, and finally, I'll touch on the mitigated negative declaration and the public noticing for the proposed order. So here's an overview of the WDR, and I will be going over these points in greater detail, so I don't think you have to write everything down really quickly. The WDR is designed to address all of HRC's management activities in the Jordan Creek watershed. It's designed to prevent and minimize sediment discharges from management activities, including THPs, road and non-road related sediment sources, as well as landslides. It also contains enhanced riparian protections and addresses cumulative impacts from past harvesting, all with the goal of implementing the Lower Eel River TMDL. Okay, this is a big picture map of the Jordan Creek watershed. Okay, we have Humboldt Bay and Eureka up here to the north. This is Highway 101. The green areas are lands that were formerly owned by Palco and are now owned by HRC. This includes Jordan Creek, which is shown down here in red. So Jordan Creek is a tributary to the Lower Eel River. And the Eel River was list 303D listed for sediment and temperature impairment in 1992. This resulted in the establishment of the Lower Eel River Sediment and Temperature Technical TMDLs in 2007. Jordan Creek is a small watershed. It has 3,072 acres and is underlain by mostly Franciscan bedrock. The watershed is characterized by high relief and high average annual rainfall, the combination of which makes it highly prone to landsliding. Timber production is the predominant land use in Jordan Creek. There's an extensive network of roads and skid trails within the watershed. Logging began in the 1940s, and was done in three entry waves. First, from the 1940s to the mid-1960s, from the 1970s to 1999, and from 1999 to 2007. Okay, I'm going to take everyone through a brief history of the harvesting in Jordan Creek by way of aerial photographs. I've included a red outline here. This is the outline of the watershed. Please note, as we go through these images, these are stitched together from multiple pictures. So as we move through them, the perspectives will change slightly depending on where the plane was when it took the picture. Okay. So in the early 1940s, old growth conditions prevailed in Jordan Creek. Here's the main stem right here. We've got several major tributaries coming off. You can see that in many areas, you can't actually see the watercourse channel. There's a very well-established riparian cover, canopy cover in the watershed. And it was during this time that Palco began clear-cut harvesting old growth redwood and Douglas fir. Oops, wrong button. Where's my button? There it is. Okay. By 1954, approximately 24% of the watershed had been harvested and 6 miles of road constructed. Harvest areas are here and here. And if you look closely, this high albedo is actually, this is a skid trail network in here. That's why they're showing up so white. The channel is still mostly beneath riparian canopy in those areas that have not been harvested yet. Between 1954 and 1966, Palco harvested approximately 70% of the watershed using clear-cut and partial harvest methods and constructed 18 miles of road, many of them on steep streamside hill slopes. This photo was taken after the 1964 storm event, and you can see severe aggradation in the main stem in Jordan Creek. The 1964 storm event triggered widespread landsliding of vulnerable slopes that had been disturbed by logging and construction practices. Many of the landslides formed debris torrents that deposited large volumes of sediment within the water course. This served to widen the channel and removed much of the riparian vegetation. From 1966 to 1974, no harvesting occurred in the watershed. Between 1974 and 1987, Palco harvested 10% of the watershed using clear-cut methods and constructed 1 mile of road. From 1987 to 1997, Palco harvested approximately 32% of the watershed, again using clear-cut and partial harvest methods, and constructed 4 miles of road. It was during this entry that the 1996 that the New Year's Eve, the 1996-1997 New Year's Eve storm event occurred, again resulting in widespread landsliding on disturbed slopes. Just like in 1964, many of these landslides formed debris torrents that again deposited large volumes of sediment in the water course, again widening the channel and again removing riparian vegetation. The next three pictures are a series of photos that were taken of Jordan Creek in 2002. We didn't have any for post-1997, but even 5 years after that storm, you can see how overwhelmed this system is with fine sediment. There you go. Okay, wrapping up the harvest history in the watershed, the third wave of harvesting in the watershed occurred from 1999 to 2007. The plans approved by CAL FIRE during this time incorporated the requirements of PALCO's newly adopted habitat conservation plan. The last plan approved by the Regional Water Board in Jordan Creek was in 2005, with the last harvesting occurring in 2007. Okay, so now let's go over the regulatory history of Jordan Creek. In 1992, the Lower Eel River was 303 delisted as sediment and temperature impaired. In 1997, the Regional Board's executive officer requested from PALCO a sediment source inventory and cleanup strategy for Jordan Creek. In 1998, the Regional Water Board, CAL FIRE, the California Department of Fish and Wildlife, and the California Geologic Survey determined that Jordan Creek was one of 5 watersheds that were significantly cumulatively impacted by sediment discharges after the 96-97 storms. In 1999, PALCO's habitat conservation plan was approved. THPs submitted after the HCP approval were and still are required to include the management measures contained in the HCP. In 2004, the Regional Water Board adopted the general waste discharge requirements for timber harvest activities in the North Coast region. The following year, in 2005, the Regional Water Board permitted the last THP in Jordan Creek under the general waste discharge requirements. This was a result of the board's determination that significantly and cumulatively impacted watersheds were not eligible to be permitted under the general WDR. In 2007, the federal EPA established technical TMDLs for sediment and temperature for the Lower Eel River. The following year, in 2008, the Regional Water Board issued a request to Palco for a report of waste discharge in the Jordan Creek watershed. And skipping ahead to 2013, the now owner of those Palco lands, HRC, submitted a report of waste discharge and a watershed management plan to initiate the development of waste discharge requirements for the Jordan Creek watershed, which brings us here today. Let's go over some of the key elements, and I will be going over these bullet points in greater detail later on. The WDR is designed to cover all timber management activities within the Jordan Creek watershed and focuses on the prevention and minimization of sediment discharges. It incorporates many of the management measures proposed in HRC's report of waste discharge, including the 2004 Lower Eel Delta Watershed Analysis prescriptions, which I'll be referring to as the LEED, L-E-E-D prescriptions, again for the sake of brevity, harvest rate and intensity limitations, landslide protections, road and non-road related sediment sources, and riparian protections. It also includes a monitoring and reporting plan. The WDR relies in part on the prescriptions that were developed as a result of the 2004 Lower Eel Delta Watershed Analysis. This analysis was done as part of the requirements of the Habitat Conservation Plan. They're referred to as the LEED prescriptions. In particular, key measures in these prescriptions call for no harvesting within 100 feet of Class 1 and Class 2 watercourses, and they allow for additional restrictions up to 300 feet from watercourses, depending on the watercourse class and slope condition. They also require ground-based equipment exclusion zones that are a minimum of 150 feet for Class 1 watercourses, 100 feet for Class 2 watercourses, and 50 feet or to the closest hydrologic divide for Class 3 watercourses. Additionally, the LEED prescriptions require geologic review of proposed harvesting and retention of a minimum of 150 square feet basal area in Class 1, 2, and 3 headwall swale areas. They also require geologic assessment of proposed harvesting on slopes greater than 50% within 300 feet of a Class 3 watercourse. They also require geologic assessment of proposed harvesting or road construction or reconstruction on unstable areas or on slopes greater than 60%. The WDR addresses harvest rate and intensity through use of selection harvesting as the primary silviculture method, use of partial or full suspension yarding on slopes greater than 40%, harvesting no more than 30% of the watershed in any decade, which in clear-cut equivalent acres is no more than 17% of the watershed in any given decade. It also calls for the implementation of the 2004 LEED prescriptions. The WDR addresses sediment discharges from landslides by requiring geologic review for every timber harvest plan, annual updates to the current landslide inventory, which presently identifies 83 landslides within the watershed. It requires development of a landslide restoration plan, and again, implementation of the 2004 LEED prescriptions. The WDR requires HRC to address road and other non-road related sediment sources. It calls for regular updates to the existing road management plan, which currently contains a complete inventory of road related sediment sites and a schedule to have all work done on those sites to be completed by 2017, as well as decommissioning of lower slope roads, which are redundant to harvest methods. It calls for annual road inspections and for erosion control plans for non-road related sites to be submitted with every THP. So moving on to riparian protections, okay, remember this picture from back in 2002. Channel conditions in Jordan Creek have been gradually improving. Presently, Jordan Creek is experiencing the reestablishment of riparian vegetation. Flows are downcutting through the debris torrent deposits. Pools are beginning to form with boulders and other in-stream structural elements You see right there. That being said, in much of the watershed, there is still a lack of large conifers for large woody debris recruitment. So for the riparian protections, the 2004 LEED prescriptions play a major role in the establishment of protections in the WDR. And we've already gone over these, but I think it's important to point them out again as measures designed to allow for the establishment of large trees in riparian areas that will serve as future sources of large woody debris. In particular, the LEED prescriptions include, again, no harvesting within 100 feet of Class 1 and Class 2 watercourses, and require the establishment of ground-based equipment exclusion zones that are a minimum of 150 feet for Class 1s, 100 feet for Class 2s, and 50 feet or to the closest hydrologic divide for Class 3 watercourses. And although this is not a requirement, the WDR does acknowledge HRC's collaboration with watershed stakeholders to develop an in-stream restoration plan. Potential elements of the plan include riparian planting and the recruitment of large woody debris or other structures to enhance in-stream habitat conditions. The WDR includes a monitoring and reporting plan. As part of the watershed management plan included in the report of waste discharge, HRC has committed to conducting annual monitoring of its roads, erosion control sites, landslides, and in-stream water quality. Annual work plans will be submitted for the upcoming year's projects. Annual reports outlining the previous year's road and landslide work, water quality monitoring reports, and status of the in-stream restoration plan will be submitted to the Regional Water Board, as will five-year reports updating the comprehensive road and landslide inventories present. There is no formal enrollment process for the WDR. CAL FIRE approved THPs in the Jordan Creek watershed are automatically enrolled if they meet the requirements of the WDR. As part of our administration of this order, we have committed to our ongoing participation in the THP review process to review work plans and reports and provide input in a timely manner on them, and to audit WDR compliance by way of conducting on-the-ground inspections. Staff prepared a mitigated negative declaration for the proposed order. The draft WDR and mitigated negative declaration were submitted to State Clearinghouse for public comment on May 23rd of this year. In addition to distribution to the Clearinghouse, copies of the draft order and the mitigated negative declaration were sent directly to interested parties, stakeholders, and other regulatory agencies to solicit comment. The public comment period was 30 days long and ended on June 24th. We received no comments on the draft order or the mitigated negative declaration. After the close of public comment, we were contacted by HRC with a request to make a non-substantive change for the period for required road inspections. This involved changing May 1st to April 1st, and you can see in the strikeout, to better align the WDR's period for road inspections with other inspection requirements in both the order and in their habitat conservation plan. So having received no public comment and having very minor non-substantive changes to the a few words in the order, staff would like to make the recommendation that the board adopt the proposed order. And that concludes my presentation.
All right, well, thank you for your presentation. Any board member comments or questions?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Maggie, for one thing, thank you. Nice job.
Thanks.
I want to just voice support for this general approach. I mean, it's got the elements, I think, that it's got a lot of elements in here. In reading this information item, or at least, excuse me, the permit in the package, I started checking off things as I went, and I pretty much inked up a lot of this thing because I think a lot of these things are really good and appropriate for this type of watershed with the history that it does have. At the same time, let me ask you, how is with 83 map landslides and some of the other type of issues that are artifacts, or not artifacts, they're remnants of the past practice here.
Legacy stuff.
How is the prioritization then going to happen on an annual or cyclical basis then?
In terms of what needs to be treated first?
Yes.
HRC has a decision tree that they have developed for treatment of road sites and for erosion sites within their ownership that they have been using already. It's been put into practice. I'm going to make the assumption, I know it's not good to make an assumption, but given that they've already been using that within their ownerships, that they will continue to use that for this.
And being that there's not an enrollment process for THP here for the harvest part of this, though, there is an erosion. I note there's an annual work plan. Is mm-hmm. that the part where you will see that then? That you will see the
yes.
prioritization?
Yes. Oh, like where the, yes, the prioritization and the scheduling for treatment. Yes, that will be included in the annual work plans.
Again, well done. I think this has a lot of really good elements that helps us, I think, go forward in other areas.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to point out that I am just the very last person in a very long process. So HRC put a lot of work into their report of waste discharge and into their management plan, and they worked very well with us on developing this. We also had staff members who spent a lot of time in the field in this watershed. David Kuzmar took those 2002 pictures. He's worked extensively with Joelle Gepard and Adona White, as well as Matt Beflavin. So there have been a lot of people working in this watershed.
Well, and I'll extend then the thanks and the appreciation for that work to all the involved parties, including on our staff inside and as well as the HRC. Mm-hmm. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Board Member Massey.
Mr. Chair, first of all, I want to say thank you to both you and your unit as well as HRC. I think Mr. Corbin and I can remember when this is today's agenda. We used to get comments that ran that large, that you managed to do this without a single comment. Absolutely. Did you change your post office box? Because this is absolutely amazing, but I think it's also the prototype. I agree with Mr. Noren that this is the way we should have been doing it for a long, long time. So thank you both to our staff who, as you said, put in a lot of hours, but also the cooperation from the discharger in this case. Thank you very much.
I had just one informational question. What are the primary components of a landslide restoration plan?
The primary components would be there is a standing inventory right now.
Right, I understand inventory.
Okay,
you've located
okay. And then there's the prioritization for treatment. They haven't actually put the plan together. That's due to us in 2000.
And my question is, what is the components of the treatment plan then?
Right. Well, that has yet to be developed.
Okay.
The plan hasn't been put together. There is a due date for it. And it will be submitted to us, but at this time it hasn't been. But there is a requirement for them to develop one.
So the reason I didn't pick it up is basically it's not there.
Correct.
Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Mr. Janai.
Yes,
you look like you have an answer for that.
Well, he has his whole presentation coming too. I would prefer we stay in the hearing order when we have varied from that in the past. Sometimes it's been troubling to get back on track. So any further questions for staff? Okay, we will now call on the discharger.
Okay. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Mike Janai. I have been sworn in.
Good.
I'm the president and chief forester of Humboldt and Mendocino Redwood Company. Before I give you an outline of what a landslide plan might look like, I'd first like to reiterate our thanks to the tremendous amount of staff work that has been put in on your part to get this done. I think we started in on this knowing that we needed to do it right, to create a template that can be repeated in other watersheds. And I think that that's what is before you today. I've talked to the board before about other efforts that we're engaging in, and our plan is to continue to use this template because I think it addresses everything that's important in managing a forested watershed. Now, as to a roughed out picture of what a landslide restoration plan might look like. I think it goes without saying that the first phase of that would be an assessment, a geological assessment. And then I believe, too, that as part of that assessment would be a go, no-go appraisal as to what can be done. Because we find oftentimes when we're doing restoration work in the woods and doing assessments, to access a place to work sometimes leads to unwinding things more than what you would get in the benefit of doing the work. But that said, once that assessment is done, you would get a compendium of you can do this, 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 and this. I imagine that it will have a checklist involved of treatment, landslide treatments. There are things that we do already to remediate landslides when they occur. Sometimes we can get equipment to them. Other times it requires handwork. Taking the materials that are right adjacent to a landslide and using it to either bolster, toe, or to bolster the head wall of a landslide is something that could be described and will be part of that checklist. Additionally, we always concern ourselves with the ongoing erosion of the site itself, so surface erosion. There will be treatment categories for that as well, depending on access issues. That is my view of what it would look like in terms of getting work done. And then obviously at the end of it will be some sort of monitoring period to see the effects, an effectiveness monitoring component, as well as look backs of what actually has occurred and if it gets re-triggered. I can't imagine that it will be much more than that, but I think it will include all those things. Any other questions for me?
Board members? All right.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for cooperating with our staff, and we appreciate that. I have no public cards for this. Is that correct? Okay. Then I will take this matter back to the board and ask for board member comment, and after that for a motion. Board Member Massey.
I have no comments. I would simply move R1 2014-0036.
Is there a second?
Second. Just to clarify, with the errata sheet.
With the errata sheet changing from April to May, yes.
Okay.
Accepted.
May to April.
Any other staff amendments, just to make it very clear? No. Okay. I believe this can be done by voice vote, right? So with that, I'm going to have all those board members in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those board members opposed, please say nay. All those board members abstaining, please identify yourself. The motion unanimously carries. We'll go on to the next agenda item, but